to you as well, to Holy Trinity this morning. Now, I've got a question for you to think about as we start this morning. When you are in danger or feeling scared, who do you go to or where do you go to when you want to be safe? So when you're in danger or scared, who or where do you go to be safe? Don't want to put their hands up and share an example? Yes? A nuclear knockout shelter. Wow. Thank you very much. Great example. Any other examples? Yes. Go to God. Brilliant. Thank you, Teddy. Excellent. Excellent. I think that's the end of the sermon. There we go. Any other examples? Home. Yeah, brilliant. Home, absolutely. Do you have one more? If anyone's got one more? Well, I'll share. I would go, when I was younger, I might even still now, go to my mum and my dad in order to feel safe. Feeling safe, being safe is really important, isn't it? It's important to be safe from harm when you're at school, when you're at work, when you're at church, when you're online, in all kinds of ways. We really want to be safe. And our Bible story today is about the ultimate place of safety, the best place or person we can turn to for security and safety in what is sometimes a dangerous world. Even when we try our best to make it as safe as possible, there are still lots of dangers. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 20, and it's page 292 in your church Bibles. If you can turn that up. It's a really long chapter, so we're not going to read it all out today, but we're going to work our way through it. And as you're turning it up, I will pray. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us this morning to understand the safest place we can go. And may each one of us in this room be those who are going there. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so chapter 20 of 1 Samuel is this amazing story. It's like a play, and we're going to act some bits out. It's like a play in two parts. That picture's just gone. There it is. So there's Act 1 and Act 2. And we're going to think about Act 1 of this play for a moment. David and Jonathan trust in a permanent promise. And in Scene 1, we see David coming and trusting in Jonathan's promise. Now, we're getting back into the story of David. And we're a little further on today than the young people are. So I just need to tell you where we have got to. If you remember, God has chosen David, this young man, to be the next king of Israel. A man after God's own heart. But he's got to wait. He's got to wait for quite some time. And then, after he's been chosen, he won this amazing victory against this great, fierce, giant warrior called Goliath. And because he won that victory, King Saul, who is the king at the moment, has become very, very jealous. And so David has to run away because the king actually is trying to kill him. So he runs away, and he runs away to his friend, who happens to be King Saul's son, Prince Jonathan, because Jonathan has made a promise that he will support David. And if you were here last week, grown-ups, you remember he gave him his royal robes and he gave him his sword to show that he believes that David is going to be the next king and he's going to support him to be that. And so now David is in big trouble. He's running for his life and he comes to Jonathan for help. So let's see what happens. And we're going to have, we're going to bring our very own David and Jonathan up, who are going to come up, David and Jonathan, here we are, who are going to read out a bit of this conversation It's 1 Samuel 20, starting at verse 1. They're going to use the International Children's Bible version. It's slightly easier to understand for all ages. So, over to you guys.
That was exhausting. What have I done? What is my crime? How have I sinned against your father so that he's trying to kill me?
No, you won't die. See, my father won't do anything without first telling me. Why would he refuse to tell me if he wants to kill you? It's just not true.
Your father knows very well that I'm your friend. He has said to himself, Jonathan must not know about it. If he knows, he will tell David. But as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I am very close to death.
Look, I'll do anything you want me to do.
Look, tomorrow is the new moon festival. I'm supposed to eat with the king, but let me hide in the field. Your father may notice I am gone. If he does, tell him, David begged me to let him go to his hometown of Bethlehem. If your father says, fine, I'm safe. But if he becomes angry, you can believe he wants to hurt me. Be kind to me, your servant. You have made a covenant with me before the Lord.
If I learn my father wants to harm you, I will warn you.
Very much indeed. So do you see that David is trusting in Jonathan's promise? But I wonder if you heard it or saw it in verse 8. David used a special word to describe a special promise. It's there in verse 8, and it's the word covenant. So there it is on the screen, a special Bible word, covenant. Now we need to know what this word means, because this is the reason that David is trusting Jonathan. And here's my summary of it. Covenant means a permanent promise. A promise that you will always, always be there for someone. Now, grown-ups, you might sometimes call it something like a pledge or a pact or a deal. A permanent promise that you will always be there for someone. Or kids, when you make promises with your friends and you want to try and make the promise stronger, as strong as you could possibly make it, maybe some of you do something like this. You say, pinky promise. Do you do that, some of you? Pinky promise? Yeah. Or, here's an example that I can think of. Toy Story. Think of Toy Story and the relationship between Woody, the toy, and Andy, the boy who owns him. And they sing that amazing song, don't they? You've Got a Friend in Me. You know that song? Brilliant song. Let me just read some of the words out. I'm not going to sing it, by the way. Shall I sing it? I'll get it so wrong. I get it. I'm going to get it so wrong. Okay, let's have a go. Let's have a go. No, it's not going to work. You've got troubles. I've got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. I don't even know the tune. We stick together and we see it through, cause you got a friend in me. Okay, I know the next bit. And as the years go by, our friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You've got a friend in me. Hey, there we go. There we go. difficult to sing. But you see, they've got a permanent promise. It's like they have made a covenant between Andy and his toy. And David and Jonathan, in chapter 20, have made a covenant. They made it back in chapter 18, and in this time, they're going to make it even stronger. You see, Jonathan has seen that his father, King Saul, is not being faithful to God. And Jonathan has heard the prophet Samuel say, the kingdom is going to be taken away from Saul and given to somebody else. And then Jonathan realized, when he saw David defeat Goliath, he realized that David was the one. He is the one that God has chosen. And so Jonathan promised to support David, and they made a covenant, a permanent promise. Now, I want you to realize this is amazing. Because Jonathan is the son of the king, he's the heir to the throne, and princes, heirs to the throne, never just give up their kingdom. They never, ever do a thing like that. This is amazing what Jonathan did. But it's because of his faith in God's word through Samuel. And because of this, he made a permanent promise to David. And so, David trusts Jonathan when he's running for his life. And he comes to him when he's in need. It is an amazing thing. Absolutely amazing what has happened. But also, that's scene one. David trusts Jonathan's promise. But then they have a bit more of a conversation. And in the further conversation, Jonathan trusts David's promise. Now, after that conversation we just saw, they go out into the field and they find the rock. This is a rock here where David is going to hide for 3 days. And in the field, Jonathan asks David to make his promise stronger because he believes David's going to become the king. And he says to him in verse 14, "Show me the kindness of the Lord as long as I live. Do this so that I may not die. You must not stop showing your kindness to my family. Don't do this even when the Lord has destroyed all your enemies from the earth." And so verse 16, it says, Jonathan made a covenant with the family of David. And this also is amazing, because in those days, if a new king came to the throne from a new family, what do you think happened to the old family? Wasn't good. Does anyone know what happened to the old family? Anyone want to help us? Yeah? Yeah, they'd all get killed. They'd all get killed. So there's no rivals left out there. And David is promising that he won't do that to Jonathan and his family, which is an amazing promise. They're amazing, permanent promise. And they both trust in each other for it. Okay. David and Jonathan trust in a permanent promise. But what about us? Is there a permanent promise that we can trust in too? One of the clues in our reading is that they made their promise before God. And they say that God's in the promise. And there is, as our lovely helper here said, we can trust in God. And when Jesus came, and when he died for us on the cross, he made a permanent promise that all who come and trust in him will be forgiven. So here's on the screen the words that Jesus said at the Last Supper. He said this, "Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" And he calls us to trust in him. He calls us to be like Jonathan. To be like Jonathan and not try to be in charge of our lives. Not try to be like little kings. But rather to recognize that Jesus is the true king. To trust in him and his permanent promise for us. So, we're going to sing about that now. We're going to sing about how Jesus is strong and kind. He's the one we can trust in. His permanent promise for us. Well, what happened next to David and Jonathan? Well, as they were out in the field, first they agreed a secret signal. When Jonathan shoots an arrow in the field that David is hiding, if he shouts out, "The arrow is beyond you," then David knows he's got to run away. It's not safe. Well, then, after agreeing the signal, David hides. Do you want to hide, David? Brilliant. Thank you. And Jonathan goes to the new moon festival with his father as usual. And everyone is there, the king's family, the generals. And David, who is married to the king's daughter, if you remember, grown-ups, he is expected to be there, but his place is empty. And on the first day of the feast, Saul notices, but doesn't say anything because he thinks, well, maybe David's had an accident and he's become what they call unclean, and so he can't come. But let's listen to what happens on day two of the feast. So Jonathan and King Saul come out to dinner, and let's see what happens.
Hello, Father.
Hello. Why hasn't the son of Jesse come to the festival yesterday or today?
Well, David begged me to let him go to Bethlehem. He said, let me go because our family has a sacrifice in the town. That's why he hasn't come to the king's table.
You son of an evil and disobedient woman! I know you're on the side of David, son of Jesse. You bring shame on yourself and on your mother who gave birth to you. As long as Jesse's son lives, you'll never be king or have a kingdom. Now send for David and bring him to me. He must die.
No, why should David be killed? What wrong has he done?
Ah!
Oh! Goodness, I can't live with this. This is ridiculous.
Oh. He really has stormed out. Oh, there he is. Well. What a dangerous world for David and Jonathan. Actually, last week, remember, David had a spear thrown at him by Saul as well. And I guess we should say, thank God that I hope life isn't that dangerous for us. But it still can be dangerous. And even if it's not at the moment, it can be in future. And even as you look at the news and look around the world, there are dangerous things happening. Where can we find safety and security? Well, let's see how our story ends. And so I'd like Jonathan to come back. And Jonathan's got a helper. Come on, up you come.
Come here, boy.
I need you to go and run and find the arrows that I shoot. Okay?
Okay.
The arrow's beyond you. Right, take my bow and arrow, take it back to the town.
Oh. Oh.
We're meant to cry now.
Oh, my back hurts.
Go in peace. We've promised by the Lord that we'll be friends. We said the Lord will be a witness between you and me and between our descendants forever. Goodbye.
Thank you all very much indeed. Well, I want us to think for a moment about a special word, another special word, and this time it's the word peace. Did you hear that Jonathan said that to David at the end? He said, go in peace. And isn't that an amazing thing to say? There's basically war going on, and Jonathan says, go in peace. And so we want to know, how can they have peace in this dangerous world? Well, it's because of the permanent promise. They've promised to always help each other. Jonathan has promised to support David to become king. And David has promised to always look after Jonathan's family, his descendants. Now, at the beginning, I asked you, where can you go to find safety in the world? Now, I don't know what troubles you are facing at the moment. There are lots of troubles, aren't there, in the world and maybe in your lives. Maybe at school. Maybe someone is being mean to you. Or maybe the work just feels too hard. Or for grown-ups, maybe at your work, maybe people don't get on. Or maybe you're worried that you won't have a job in a few months' time, or worried that you need a job. Or maybe there's some relationship in your life, and it's just really, really hard. It's not always safe in our world. It can be dangerous, like it was for David and Saul. And yet they found peace in the middle of it. So here's a slightly different question to the question at the beginning. Because sometimes we can't find safety now, but where can you go to find peace in the middle of danger? And this time, just think to yourself, where can you go to find peace in the middle of danger? Well, for David and Jonathan, they would answer, it is that permanent promise that covenant. That's the place that gives them peace in a dangerous world. Now, in our world today, we do sometimes make those kinds of permanent promises, and they can really help. Like, for instance, a husband and wife will come up here in church, and they will promise to be faithful to each other till death us do part. And that permanent promise is a really strong help for families when it works. And there are other times when people make a permanent promise to someone, and it can really help. And they can give us some peace. But none of those are perfect. The best, the totally unbreakable permanent promise is what we can have, as we saw before, with King Jesus, his promise to us. Now, King David suffered a lot before he became king, and suffered a lot in order to care for God's people and Jonathan's family. But King Jesus suffered even more, to the point of dying on the cross. That's how much he loves us. That's how committed he is in his permanent promise. He died. God gave his son to make a permanent promise for us, so that if we come to him, as we just sang, we can have peace with God. Peace in a dangerous world, knowing that God will always have our backs and will bring us to his eternal kingdom, the place of total safety. So, dear friends, do you want peace? Peace, even when there's trouble all around. Well, there's only one place to get it. It's the permanent promise of Jesus, his covenant that he wants to make with each one of us. And even today, if you've not done it yet, you can come and come to him and receive that promise now and enter into that covenant relationship. And if you have done it, well, be reminded today of it and what a wonderful, precious thing it is. You can trust it again and know that peace again, perhaps even more than you've known it before. David and Jonathan trust in a permanent promise, and that permanent promise gives peace. Dear friends, come to Jesus today and his permanent promise, so that you may know that peace. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this old story, this exciting, this scary, this extraordinary story, that we can learn that you are offering us peace today through Jesus. That we can be like Jonathan and give up our desires for power and control and submit to King Jesus. And we thank you that King Jesus is better than David, that he didn't just suffer for us, but he died for us, so that we can have peace now and safety forever with you. So I pray for each one of us. Help us to respond, Lord, to what you are saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.